we were all excited for this to even be happening. Yeah. And then you're going to be leaving it so up in the air.
RuPaul has injured. You finally bring on, you know, like it's
a woman.
It's just, yeah. And I'm like, and then you just injure her and then get rid of her and then don't promise that she's coming back. I was fully like, that was whoever was feeding that line into the ear piece. I was like, you're fired. Like,
very thin, like, chance.
You could show just a little bit of love for anyone that you may not like.
Attention, calling all whispering hunties. Oh, crrr.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Mijan, a semi-drag race expert.
And I'm Nick. I never watched it before, until now.
And together, we are Whispering Hunties. We're a podcast about global queer culture and drag race.
Check us out wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick.
Mijang.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm so, so excited about our guest today. I can't even like, okay. Normally we'd just geeking and catch up, but like, there's not a lot to catch up about. I mean, Mama released an album. Victoria Scone is gone. But today we have Adam Johannesson, who is...
Get some art in your ears.
Who's so handsome and so talented. And I've been a fan of him for a while. And I just decided to invite him on the pod and he said yes.
I just became a fan today, but that's all right. A fan nonetheless.
I know. And he's absolutely lovely. Everyone get into it. Adam Johannesson is an illustrator and graphic designer originally from Scotland, but also from Iceland as well, which is why his last name is Johannesson. He now lives and works in London. And in the day, he works full-time as a graphic designer. And at night, he illustrates drag queens. Adam has worked on various products for world-famous drag performers such as Violet Chachki, Miss Fame, and Ahura. Oh, we didn't even talk about Ahura. Shame on us. And his latest project is an illustration of the one and only RuPaul in a book called The Queer Bible, a collection of essays written about queer heroes by queer heroes.
We can't wait to read it.
Oh my God, I'm so obsessed. But it was such a lovely conversation. Adam is honestly just a delight. So we are so lucky to have such a talented person on our pod, and we love uplifting our fellow queer creatives. So, you know what, y'all?
The last time we're going to be talking about only one episode for a very long time.
I'm both really, really traumatized by this, but I'm also really excited because now we get to talk to all of our Canadian friends. We'll be chatting with Matthew V. We'll be chatting with Wig Zaddy. We'll be chatting with Sunshine Glitterchild.
That's right. So we have a lot to look forward to.
All of our Canadian faves will hopefully return, and I'm so excited. Oh my God, we need to talk. I have so many Canadian people that I need to reach out to at this moment in time. I'm like losing myself. But please, guys, let's get into this podcast because that's what you came here for. So without further ado, why don't you grab a snack? Sit on back. Maybe look at an illustration. And then slip into that Whispering Hunties.
Are you an admirer of art? Do you want to know the creators of the art you love today? Then you should listen to the Postmodern Art Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to giving artists who are wowing the world over the platform they deserve. Sit down with your favorite artists as they discuss their passion.
I couldn't have lived without art, I don't think. It's like my whole life.
Hardships.
My payment before was like around $50 a week.
What? Heartfelt moments?
I recently actually got a message about some of my drawings and somebody saying, oh, my kid really, really appreciated those. And they've been drawing ever since she started doing those things. And that makes me feel really good.
And some fun in between. You gotta make me tear up already.
Good cry.
The Postmodern Art Podcast. New episodes every Thursday on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and most podcast platforms.
God, Nick. I am loving my 5 equals 10 athletic trunks with the dragon print.
Oh, yes, Mijan. I hear you. I got my bikini briefs on right now in the neon snake print, and they feel sexy. They look amazing.
If y'all don't know, 5 equals 10 was started by 5 individuals to start a company with the sole purpose of creating better underwear for all men. And now they've expanded into athleisure for women. So we have a little bit of something for everybody in the most beautiful patterns. And they want to make a difference. So for every purchase that you make at 5 equals 10, a 10% donation is made to charities that they partner with.
Yeah, isn't that incredible? I mean, they really want to make a difference. Combining premium products with philanthropy is in their DNA, and it's how 5 equals 10 was created. So if you support this brand, you're also supporting those charities, which is fantastic.
Oh,
and we've got another special little draw for you because we have our very first discount code.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it's Hunties50,
yeah.
HUNTYS50. And you can use that for 50% off new arrival merchandise at 5 equals 10.
I can get 50% off some expensive stuff. What?
You sure can. I mean, you're getting what you pay for, but this discount makes these fabulous high-end underwear all yours.
Look, it is Pride Month, and we are giving you what you need. So get yourself some 5 equals 10 and get out there and, you know, make a friend.
Mm-hmm. And as a bonus, they look even better on the floor.
That is very true. That is very true. I've tested out the 5 equals 10. I met a gentleman caller the other day, and they were very impressed with, you know, my undergarments.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. This is my first pair, and I can't wait to see who's going to see him first.
So get your underpants and get them on the floor. And happy Pride, y'all. Hunties 50, just for you. Mwah. Mwah. Oh my God, is that Adam Johannesson in the Hunty Whispering House? Oh my God.
The house of ours.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for having me.
House of the Hunty.
Yeah.
Oh my God, how are you? How's everything in London town?
It's good. It's very gray.
No one ever said that about London ever.
we had like a really good summer, and like last week, yeah, like it gets really hot here, but like last week it's like somebody flipped a switch and it's suddenly like raining every day, and it's like freezing. So
yeah. So we like to pretend that London and Seattle are kindred spirits. And unfortunately, New York has been a kindred spirit of Seattle. So my running joke is that New York has turned into London because it's always raining and it's always cloudy.
We've had a very wet summer, I'd say. Parts of it have been really nice, but yeah, it's pretty gray today as well. But also, I mean, we're in mid-October. It's not summer anymore.
No, I know. But I mean, It's almost as if halfway during the summer just decided that rain was what we wanted, which mm-hmm. is never what we wanted. We wanted to be outside. Actually,
there were a few hurricanes.
During the first like actual summer holiday, it rained the whole weekend. It was like a dream deferred. It was terrible. Anyway, we're here to talk about you. So I'm Nick. I don't know if you know, but Adam is a very, very talented artist who started making the most beautiful drawings ever of drag queens. And eventually, you know, as the crow flies, or I mean, as one would have it, his talent was, as the world turns, his talent was very noted. So like, I've been an Instagram follower for about 3 years, I think. Okay. And then, mm-hmm. you know, he's done stuff with like Violet Chachki. And then also a recent drawing of RuPaul was featured in a book about like queer icons. So tell us.
Well, how about that?
Tell us your story, because it's actually pretty awesome.
I mean, how much time have you got?
15 minutes.
Okay. I can work with that. I'm really not used to speaking about myself, so this will be quite interesting.
You got this.
Yeah, I mean, I graduated from art school like 2 years ago. I studied graphic design and illustration. And I would say maybe like 6 years ago, I was I wasn't very good at Instagram. Like, I really wasn't. Like, nobody was paying attention to, like, anything I was doing. And I was drawing. At first, I really thought I was like, oh, I'm going to be a fashion illustrator. That's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. I was really paying attention to, like, the runways that were happening. And I started doing fashion illustration, but I felt like drawing the models wearing the clothes was quite boring, just because I feel like we live mm-hmm. in a time where kind of it's runway makeup and styling is very sort of minimal and clean now. So I started to draw my favorite drag queens wearing the fashion. And uh-huh. it was pretty much like at the exact same time where my favorite drag queens were also actually like breaking into fashion. And so, yeah, I started to draw the queens in actual looks, but sometimes I would come up with looks on my own. And I started to get a bit more traction. People were starting mm-hmm. to really like it. It was a style that was working. I mean, if you scroll back on my Instagram far enough, there you can definitely see, like, I have tried a fair different range.
Okay, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to judge you.
Okay. I mean, I've cleaned up some of the older stuff. Like, there is some stuff that I'm like, it's just not. People don't need to see that, but like...
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, for growth as an artist, I think it can be measured that if you're looking back and you're not cringing or at least a little bit unhappy with what it was, then are you really growing? So that's a good
thing. And also, like, I think you're being too hard on yourself. You explored like anyone, you know, like, it's like when you're first coming out of the closet, you try a little of this, you try a little of that, and then eventually you're like, no, that's my type.
Yeah, being hard on myself is like my thing. Like, people tell me all the time. Okay. And it's not, I promise I'm not fishing for compliments. So
sure.
100% sure. Because when people compliment me, I like don't know how to react. So I'm just like, it's honestly the worst thing. But yeah, I mean, I think at first I was trying out all these different styles and I wasn't really satisfied with what I was doing, and it was mm-hmm. I was posting stuff, but I don't know if I was ever really happy with it. And one thing I can say is that I, for the last, I would say maybe 2 years or so, I have got to a place where when I am really actually happy with what I do, and the style that I work with, it does it for me.
This is hilarious though, because it's all still gorgeous, so yeah. I mean, I guess you started with like just fashion illustration, and then I think you developed your aesthetic, which is what any artist does. You know what I mean? Like, you take all these classes, you get all these influences, you find your favorite artist, and then eventually you start saying, but I want it to look like this. And I feel like that happened, which is why you got honors when you graduated from uni.
Hey.
I was there when you posted. But also,
oh my God.
Which is why it looks so good. Like, it's this... I think you just do like a really good like pinup, but in a very like elongated fashion style. And it's just, it makes perfect sense as to why Violet Chachki was like, yo, I need like this illustration, because he gets what I'm trying to dress like.
That sounds very Violet, yeah.
Oh my God, should I tell you about how me and Violet got sad?
Please, please, please.
Please, yes.
Oh my goodness. So, I mean, Violet, I mean, I essentially owe like everything to this person because they definitely got me like up and running. Like, I didn't even set out with this drag illustration. I didn't want to become like, you know, the merch boy that like does all these like, you know, because they're, I mean.
Because we know who they are.
I just didn't want to become like, I didn't want to seem
kind of like be boxed into it, right?
Well, no, because there are a bunch of drag illustrationists who basically do a drawing per episode based on the theme. And so like, that's like a whole thing on Instagram. Like, there are like drag illustrationists. Sure. And all they do is they draw every single episode.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're talking about?
I mean, I think I just didn't want to be seen like I was doing it just to make money or anything like that. Like, I wasn't looking for this amazing opportunity. Like, what I have got out of this in the last, I would say, like 4 or 5 years
mm-hmm.
was never really something I could have expected happening. But yeah, so I mean, we're going back maybe like it was 2016, so like 5 years ago. So I was at uni and I'd never been to a drag show before. I mean, I've been watching, like, I got into Drag Race when
you'd
it was
never
like.
Been to a drag show and you were at uni?
No.
Wait, did you go to uni in the north?
Yeah, in Scotland. So
were there no drag shows in Scotland?
Not really. It's definitely.
I knew that Lawrence Chaney was a recent thing.
Yeah, I was 17 at the time.
No.
Well, but Lawrence is in Glasgow. Where were you? Edinburgh?
Aberdeen, which is Aberdeen. Like unheard of.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So, you're north of where
is that north of where what's her face is from? Ellie Diamond.
A little bit. It's about an hour drive away.
Yeah. I looked at a map Ellie once Diamond. And I'm pretty sure that Aberdeen is
even on there.
No, I mean Aberdeen is close to Ellie Diamond.
Yeah, no, I mean, she is the geographically the closest my hometown has got. Lawrence is definitely, I mean, Lawrence has probably been doing drag for a while, but I was so surprised, like Lawrence is younger than me. And I was kind of like, oh my God. I thought she was like at least my age, if not older, but
Lawrence looks 50 years old. We can all just say it right now.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, I think she was maybe, like, 22 or 23 when she was on the show, and I was like, whoa, I was like, you're way too, like, you know, she just, her personality is so developed, and I was like, how can you be this sure in yourself at that age? It definitely kind of slaps you in the face when you, I mean, then we have people on this year who are, like, 19, and you're just like, how dare you?
Offensively so.
I mean, I know that, like, in Britain, in general, pantomime is very typical, but are drag queens like a recent phenomenon? Because it seems like they can't find anyone over the age of 25 to be on this show.
Yeah. I think there definitely are established drag queens in the UK. I mean, you've got like the only one that I can really think of that's like a really big name is Lily Savage, who we know probably more as Paul O'Grady over here. He's had this like.
I've heard of Lily Savage.
Yeah. Yeah, but apart from, and I was exposed to Lily Savage when I was very very young because she hosted Blankety Blank, which was like a game show in the 90s. So that was probably my first exposure to drag. I was very young.
Oh wow.
So in 2016, me and my best friend, Zoe from uni, shout out to her. She is just...
Hey, Zoe, what's that?
One of the most important people in my life. It was Battle of the Season. So this was like pre-Work the World.
I used to love Battle of the Seasons. Oh my God. Yeah.
So like this was major, like, because I mean, when drag queens come to the UK, they very rarely come up to Aberdeen. Like it's just
they
too
went
far.
All the way up to Aberdeen.
No, they didn't. They came to Glasgow though.
Okay, so you went to Glasgow. Good.
Yeah. So me and Zoe went to Glasgow and we forked out on the meet and greets. We're like, first drag show, let's meet all these amazing queens.
Yes.
We were like, why not? Yeah, totally. What the whole experience. So we went, and I knew that Violet was one of them. And I was like, oh my God, like, I'm going to meet Violet Chachki. And I had been drawing Violet for a little while by this point, kind of exclusively.
She is your muse.
She is. It was Violet and Miss Fame. Those two people are just
Did you give her a drawing?
Wow. So what I did was I knew this was my first chance, and I was like, maybe my first and only chance to meet this person who I really identified with, because Violet was quite fresh off the show, and I think Violet was maybe like 22 when she was on the show, and I wasn't like light years away from them, and so I identified a lot on many levels with Violet. And I on one of my, like, you know, in my free time at uni, I printed off like 10 or so illustrations that I'd done of Violet that she'd already like liked on Instagram. So I knew she would recognize them. And I bound them together into this like really cute little book. I just sort of, I wanted to present her something. And I had made a decision to myself. I was like, yeah, I have no idea how this is going to go. But I was like, when I meet Violet, I was like, don't be this like screaming fan that's going to make them uncomfortable. Right. I was like, just approach them and, you know, show your appreciation and just, you know, I had no idea what to expect. I didn't know what format the meet and greet was. I had no idea. So I was like, this could either go one way or the other. So we go to the show. They bring out the queens. It was actually a really good meet and greet. Since that show, I've been to many drag shows, and there's always a, like, the meet and greets can sometimes be really good. They can sometimes be really bad. But they brought out all these queens, and we got to meet them all. And I said to Violet, I was like, hello. It's like, I'm Adam. This is, I presented them with the book, and immediately Violet was like, oh my God, I know you from Instagram. And we ended up chatting for like a good few minutes. And wow. I mean, it wasn't even to me about like getting a picture with them. It was more about having like a conversation and like really kind mm-hmm. of expressing that, like, I was like watching you on the show. Like, I definitely felt like you resonated with me. And obviously I love what you do.
You're a fan's fan. You're like, I just want to like kiki with you. And like, yeah, who cares right. about the picture? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, the fact that I met you is like enough.
Yeah. Like, and that's still the case. Like, the last drag show I was at was like 2 weeks ago, actually. I went to see Rolaska Talks, and I love all three of those queens.
Wait, there's a Rolaska Talks show?
They did a tour in the UK. Yeah.
Very recently? A
reunion tour.
Well, like, hello.
Like 2 weeks ago.
Detox, Alaska, and Roxy Andrews?
Like, icons.
Oh my God, I want to cry.
Damn, these UK tours are lit.
Did they finish? Did they close it with like Reju Wochu?
You know they did.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Why have I not seen videos from this on the Instagram?
They are on my highlights. I put them on there. They, like, I love all three of those queens so much.
Oh my God. Roxy Andrews is such a gift, you know?
Perfection.
I mean, when she came obsessed. Back with that Ariana Grande lip sync and just was freaking flawless and mm-hmm. managed to elevate the art of drag yet again, it cemented her place in history as one of the best yeah. drag queens that has ever been on RuPaul's Drag Race, like, hands down. Like, yeah. I don't care if... Here's the thing. Roxy Andrews is not the smartest person, and she never was trying to be. But she is one of the best drag queens on RuPaul's Drag Race, period.
Oh, she's phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, I'm one of those people that I really got all my friends into Drag Race. Like, I tried.
Are we twins? Do you know the premise of the podcast? Probably.
No.
Yeah. Not really. Well, when we started out, I had never watched an episode ever. So even though I've loved drag for a long time, I just have never watched the show. I barely knew any of the names of any of the queens until me and John wanted to start this.
And I was like, hey, Nick, why don't we do a podcast about Drag Race, and I'll be the expert and you can be the novice. And guess yeah. what? Then Nick was like slowly getting into it. And then he watched all the I was like, don't watch all the seasons. Yeah. We're going to watch them all. And then he's like, no, I'm just going to watch everything.
So yeah, I ended up binging everything and just... totally loving the show and loving these queens more and more all the time. So it has exploded my love of drag into a new thing.
Yeah. So now he has all these opinions and they're very interesting.
I mean, it definitely. So
no longer a novice.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely consumes your life. Like when you.
Yeah. And it's actually kind of a good thing. I ended up binging on everything, because now there's literally no time for us to go through old seasons.
To go back.
Because there's at least two American seasons every year, plus a million franchises around the world.
Yeah, we're an overkill right now. Okay, so you gave Violet a book, and what did she do with that book?
I don't know. but they so we chatted and everything, and then the show happened, and it was just magical. And when you go to a drag show, like, I don't know anyone that's been to a drag show and being like, oh, I'm never going back to that.
Well, I mean, right.
People probably do exist, but like, I don't want to know them.
Yeah, exactly.
but
so you went to the meet and greet before the show?
Yeah, the meet and greets are always before the show here.
Oh, okay. Sometimes they do them after, but that's fine.
Yeah. So Yeah, I mean, Violet was very encouraging when we were speaking. They actually ended up kind of speaking more about me than I spoke about Violet. And they were just like, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Like, it's amazing to see like this quick evolution. And I'm, you know, I really love what you do. She was just like, keep going. And so after the show, I just went back to my life at uni, and I just kept drawing. And a couple months later, so by that point, the style had evolved considerably. I was really kind of just trying whatever like I wanted and seeing where it would go. Mm-hmm. And one day I woke up and my Instagram was going absolutely crazy. And it was because Violet had reposted my drawing and they'd also followed me. And so like all these people, like every time I like pulled my screen down to refresh it, there would be like,
oh my god,
20, like my phone.
Oh, the best like, feeling ever.
It's pretty nuts. Although it's now, great.
So they
now,
really just like they put you in their rocket ship and just let you shoot off to the moon.
Yeah, I mean now I hate when that happens.
To the moon. Like,
well, it's a bit of work, right? I mean, it's
you hate it when a bunch of people are like, oh my god, this is so beautiful. Oh my god, just like stop.
No, I do. Like, it's amazing the journey that my Instagram relationship with Instagram has gone on. Like, when I post an illustration now, usually I will put it onto airplane mode. Like, I don't want to know what's happening because...
You don't want to post... You don't want to, like, count the likes and, like, hate yourself.
And I guess, but, like...
It's probably more overwhelming than anything.
Yeah. I mean, it is overwhelming, but, like, what I found is that over time... And I people say this all the time, you know, they say, oh, the fame is getting to me and all that. But like, and it sounds so stupid, like it does. But like now, like I wish I could go back in time to those earlier days and not even before Violet, even like the first couple of years, because mm-hmm. people were always very, really, really nice. And sometimes now I think when you get a big enough audience, you start to attract like the nameless, faceless, like
the trolls.
Yeah. And like
through the woodwork.
Yeah. And it depends. It's usually when I do my illustrations where I have like a bunch of queens, I'll get like flooded with comments being like, why is my favorite not there? And I will very rarely engage because like I'm just not the kind of person that engages.
Yeah, well,
and you shouldn't because you know people to quote the icon Tamisha Mon.
Which quote? Oh god.
Yeah, I was right to say.
She's so crazy.
I said what I said.
But to quote the icon, anytime you come across people that will do anything to ruin your life, those people those are people that don't deserve to be in your life. The icon Tamisha Mon.
Yeah.
Drop the mic.
Like, I think for me, the quote I always think of is, and it's so stupid, like, but one time Bianca Del Rio said, she was like, if people ever, like, if you're ever faced with, like, you know, nasty people online, just remember that one day they're gonna die. And, like, that usually kind of puts into perspective for me, because I'm like, we're all just, like, you know, making our way through life here, but,
And also, like, the people that are, like, upset at you for not drawing their queen, maybe their queen needs to do a better job, because when you do those, like, okay, so Nick, I don't know if you've seen this, but so Adam does these amazing, like, could you technically call it like a composite drawing, or like basically like you pick a bunch of queens as if they were in a fashion shoot and they all look amazing, and I mean you only paint the best ones, so it's like, you know, Adam knows what's up. And if they're upset about the queen, it's because their queen is like,
oh my god,
I don't know, not
well. But also, you're an artist; you're just choosing what you feel like doing. And if they don't like it, I don't know what to tell them.
Yeah, but it's like legends only on this Instagram. And I'm sorry if your drag queen is not a legend yet. Like, deal with it.
Can I like hire you to like, you know, be in my comments every time I post one of these and just help?
Oh yeah. Like, we'll be your pit bulls.
For sure.
It's just honestly, it is the worst. Like, I don't do Instagram for the likes. I don't do it for the recognition. Like, I said to my flatmate recently, I was like, is there a platform that is maybe a bit more optimal for sharing artwork, like, because sometimes Patreon. Instagram...
Yeah,
but who is paying? Like, I literally post like maybe once every 3 months and then like disappear. Like, who is gonna be?
If you wanted to pursue Patreon, it could be a good income stream, but it may take diversity.
Yeah, you'd have to turn out more stuff. But you know, you have kind of slowed down, I understand, because you're too busy. So to go through the resume as one, or the CV as they say over there. Adam has been making artwork for Miss Fame, which he used for like a makeup thing, right?
Oh my God. Like, okay, first of all, I have to preface this by saying that Miss Fame is like honestly the most lovely, like just kind, perfect person.
We've met. She's cute.
See, I haven't.
Is she still with that?
I've never met Miss Fame.
So it was like a remote commission.
Her boy toy is also really sweet if they're still together. She has a wonderful boyfriend who's like super sweet.
Does he have a name?
I don't know his name.
Does he like the title boy toy?
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he's very happy being the accessory to her.
To a famous person. Yeah,
who wouldn't like that? I mean, I've never met Miss Fame. I would love to meet Miss Fame. Miss Fame, similarly to Violet, kind of caught on to me pretty early on, maybe like 5 years ago as well, just because in the beginning they really were the only two queens that I
drew
drawing.
Yeah.
And Miss Fame,
I remember those
similarly the OG days. And similarly to Violet, Miss Fame has been very supportive, giving me a platform, reposting, really, really supportive. And a couple years ago, maybe like 4 years ago, they reached out to me about potentially doing packaging for the upcoming line. So like it hadn't even been like announced at this point. And it didn't, I drafted up all these ideas, but it wasn't really working out. And even I myself like thought, I was like, I really hope that they don't go with this. I was like, I think this is maybe something that should be done further down the line. And so we didn't go with it at the time. And it looked amazing. And then I think it was last year, probably like this time last year, Fame reached out to me and was like, I'm doing this limited edition release for the holidays. I want to kind of come back to what we were doing a couple of years ago. And I didn't design really a new thing. It was an existing illustration. It was two existing illustrations that I'd done a couple of years ago. And I just kind of repurposed it for that artwork. And yeah, it was announced and it came out. And that was a gift from me. I didn't charge anything for that. I was like, you know, you've been such a big part of supporting me, and you like, honestly, Miss Fame, like this, the encouraging kind words from Miss Fame, so lovely. I cannot stress that enough.
You're gonna turn.
And so I was like, yeah. I was like, this is on me. And they sent me a whole bunch of them. And they look fab, really quality. I think you can tell when Miss Fame does something though, like there's always going to be a degree of like quality control, like, you know, they're not going to do something if they're not going to go for it.
I think it was one of those moments where it's like game meets game. It's like, look, artists like other artists that they respect. And I think that that's happened with both of those queens. So can you tell us, before we end this section, can you tell us about this illustration of RuPaul in this amazing book that I really want to buy?
You remember my friend Zoe that I mentioned from uni? Mm-hmm. So she, maybe just over a year ago, she forwarded me this like open call on Instagram for illustrators. And she was like, this literally is what you do. She was like, I think you should go for it. And I was like, okay. So I contacted the guy in charge, which is Jack Guinness. He's like a model, and like he is an editor of like various publications over here, like GQ. He's very successful. Yeah. So I emailed him and I was like, take a look at my Instagram, I was like, I think what I do is very in line with what you're working on at the moment. And I really was not expecting a response. And like the next day, actually, I think it was probably that same evening, he came back to me and was like, I think you're perfect for this. He was like, there are only two more people left. So like, for like the people who don't know, the book is The Queer Bible, and it's basically a collection of essays written by famous queer people about queer icons.
Yeah.
And so every single one needed an illustration. And so they reached out to illustrators to do that. There were only two people left. And one of them was Pedro Almodovar, who's a very well-known Spanish film director.
The only one left was Pedro Almodovar. Like, as if no one knows who that is. That's rude. Not that you're rude, but I was just like, he's an icon.
So, yeah, so there's him, and then the other one was RuPaul. And originally I was like, I was like, maybe I'll push myself and go with Pedro, because obviously he's really not, like, I don't draw people that look like him. And then I ended up going with RuPaul, and I had actually never drawn RuPaul, which was quite surprising, considering obviously if it wasn't for RuPaul, I wouldn't be drawing these other queens. So,
do you know who's drawn RuPaul?
I imagine many people.
Me.
Oh, wait, did you do the podcast artwork?
Yeah.
Work. I didn't know that you were an illustrator.
Thank you.
I totally missed that there. Drawn RuPaul?
Anyway, keep telling your story.
So I got to work, and it was pretty quick. Like, we discussed what the vision that Jack wanted, and he wanted to go with this like 90s, like very supermodel RuPaul, which was really fun, because I was like, I kind of wanted to do something a bit different. I didn't really want to draw RuPaul that we see now. I was like, let's go with, because I mean, obviously we see Ru like this all the time. I was like, let's go with something a bit more specific. So I drew RuPaul, and the book then had to be like made. So it was like announced at the very beginning of this year, and in summer it came out, and it was there, and I got to go into, I don't know what the big bookstores are in America, but over here we have one called Waterstones, and I went in there with my friend, and we were looking for it, and then we like saw it on the shelf, and I was just like, oh my god, like, it was just wild to like see it, like open it and like see it. And then like I went over to like, yeah.
It's like, so, yeah, your song on the radio.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I went over to like buy it, and I was fully like to the person at the desk. I was like, I'm in there.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's me.
Yeah. I was fully like, yeah, I was like, let's relax. But I was like, yeah, like it is. And that was like, I've been very lucky to do some really cool jobs like over the last couple of years, but that one was definitely like, it's definitely one that will like always stick out to me, because I've always wanted to be published in a book. I actually want to do more book stuff, but
give me more.
Yeah. So yeah, and then I was like really lucky to get to, so like it was only maybe like 3-4 weeks ago, there was a party down here in London, which was to like celebrate it. It was kind of meant to be like a sort of fashion week kickoff party. And I got invited to that. And we, you know, there were a couple readings from some of the people who contributed, and there were a few drag performances. We got to see a few Drag Race UK, UK queens do their thing. And yeah, it was amazing. Like, honestly, the single best night of my life. Like, it was so amazing.
Oh,
that's incredible. Wow.
Adam, to fly on the wall in your life would be to be truly living. Nick?
Yeah.
I get so confused sometimes. I don't know what happens on each episode. It's so hard for me. Yeah. Could we possibly have like maybe like a little whole story report?
Oh, a little recap for us?
Yeah, a little recap, just a little something. Yeah. If you prepared anything.
Oh, sure. A little something here.
A little something, yeah. Oh, that'd be great. Thank you. Mm.
Well, hello, darling. How are you? How's your mum? Did she catch the latest episode of Drag Race UK Series 3? Oh, could you believe it?
Last time, we said goodbye to all 5 feet of Electra fence and were left in emotional cryostasis as Victoria Scone's knee injury needed further examination, leaving her participation in the competition in question. That question is immediately answered with a resounding nope, and we can confirm with multiple sources that this sucks. We will miss you every second, Victoria Scone. RuPaul, in full fret from Scooby-Doo realness, introduces the mini-challenge, butch drag impersonations of very straight dating profiles, performed to hilarious effect. Scarlet Harlot wins the mini-challenge and is granted a 15-second head start to gather materials for this week's main event, a two-look camping runway, featuring a crafting challenge with outdoorsy camping materials. We get charming chats with Raven in the workroom, and look at all these sewing queens and confidence. This is how it should go. Charity opens up about the stigma HIV-positive people face and her personal growth and expression through drag as a result of her experience. And Kitty Scott Claus delivers a big, well-timed hug. On the main stage, RuPaul wears a yellow dress. On to the show! My newsworthy happy camper looks were from Crystal Versace, Scarlet Harlot as Gottmik, and Ella Vidae. The best crafted looks were made by Crystal Versace, goddammit, Kitty Scott Claus, River Medway, Charity Case, and Scarlet Harlot. Scarlet wins the challenge and the third repeater badge. Theresa May is saved by her outfit story, and Vanity Milan and Veronica Green lip sync to I've Got the Music in Me. The girls absolutely lose it, but Veronica Green loses it more as she is eliminated. On the bright side, we'll never confuse Victoria and Veronica's names again since we won't be talking about them anymore. 8 queens remain, I wish camping season wasn't ending, and that's the whole story.
There we go.
Very impressive.
Camping, camping.
Thank
season.
You so much. I thought the first look was supposed to be like a camp look, but it was
oh,
like...
Oh, you mean as in camp drag, not
yeah,
camp.
That's what I thought it was going to be. And then the second one is like camping theme, but they were both
yeah
camping.
Yeah,
so
they can't do camp in England because England only serves camp. So
Right. Like, camp and cabaret, that's yeah. it.
I think one of the existential questions that are being asked in terms of like British drag is like, can you do glamour? Because I feel like RuPaul's always looking for glamour and all the queens are bringing camp and they're like, why do you look so sloppy? And I was like, because camp originated in England. So
we see why Crystal's doing so well, because she is like literally the most glamorous queen of the UK.
Well,
ever.
Okay. Because first of all, she stole Raven's face and right. all she does is fashion drag. And
yeah,
like, you know,
and that's the ticket to winning, I guess.
You'll probably be drawing Crystal in like 2 minutes, Adam. Oh, you don't like her?
I Ooh,
tell us more.
Oh my God,
that
no.
reaction was so shady.
I am obsessed with Crystal, actually. She's my pick. She's my pick to win at this point.
Okay, so I did read you right. Okay, sorry. I thought
Yeah, no.
I thought you were being like, no, I don't like her.
No. The face I made was like, when am I gonna have time? Like, honestly, finding the time to draw now is like it's awful. Like before I could bash them out, like, and it really does feed me creatively. And so like, yeah, it like I was fully like, oh my God, like, I just don't know. Like, it takes me months now. So like, I would love to say I will be drawing Crystal, but I think by the time I get through all my ideas, I'll probably be like 40. But yeah, Crystal's really doing it for me. I absolutely love Crystal.
I mean, the aesthetics are right. Like she has an elevated sense of style. And she clearly is putting Raven's face on her face. So like, she's doing everything right.
It was cute to see her super starstruck in the workroom.
I thought it was like gay meets game because honestly, like RuPaul was like, this is your idol. Because even RuPaul sees that Crystal is doing Raven's makeup on her face.
I mean, I saw at that party a couple weeks ago, Crystal was one of the queens that was performing. Mm-hmm. And in person, in questionable lighting, like, flawless, like, and it's I'm literally like, how dare you be 19 and be Seriously. So good at what you do,
like just meant for
she's
it.
Giving off some Simone energy, you know what I mean, like light
yeah, but
ahead.
Even more confident, like
yeah
shockingly more confident.
Well yeah, because Simone kind of like lost her mind halfway during the season. But I mean, the thing about Crystal is that she just she just is a talent. You know what I mean? Like supermodel body, doing drag, but then also like has a lot of confidence. Like when she was in that cat suit and she was like crawling around, I was just like, damn, this is sex on the beach.
I mean, I think she just gets it. Like, I think,
yeah.
To me, I mean, I speak about it with my friends every week. We like have to, you know, break it down. And for me, I think Crystal's...
Oh, really? Yeah. To be a fly on the wall. To be a fly.
Oh, see all the group chats. So, but like, I actually think Crystal's kind of trajectory and journey so far in the show actually does feel very reminiscent of Violet's, because Violet started out very strong, very confident, but also just can back that confidence up. They just get it. They get what they're there to do. Yeah. And I think if that trajectory, you know, follows through, I personally think she's probably gonna win the whole thing.
I
know, but she has to flounder for a little bit so that we like think she deserves it.
It is funny though. I mean, I think it's so clear that we're witnessing a celebratory run, like we do get sometimes, rarely.
Don't say that. That jinxed Kate Minaj.
Good. Great. Let's jinx them all. But I think we are witnessing that because she wins the first two episodes. And her only critique in this third episode was, well, we expected you to do well, so now surprise us. And that's like the nicest, most you're still killing it critique you could possibly get. That's, okay. I mean, it's stacked in her favor.
Okay, before we run out of time, because we could talk about how great Crystal is, like all episode. We need
Crystal's
to talk about,
Drag Race.
We need to talk about Victoria. And last week we were talking, Nick was like, she should stay. And I was like, no, she should not. She clearly tore her ACL and she needs to get the F out, because if you can't put on your heels, like you can't. So
I have sneakers under her bad dress. You can't.
I do believe that they were going to like get rid of her, but they just kept her around like for one more episode for the drama, because it was very clear that her knee was swollen. She felt something snap, twitch, tear when she hit the ground. She should have left that episode.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know why they, you know, when Rue like brought her up on the stage at the end of the second episode, I thought that they were going to get rid of her then. Like, I thought that they were doing the whole Eureka.
That's exactly what they did to Eureka. And he's like, no, you got to go see the doctor and then we'll let you know.
Yeah. I was like, why are they doing this? We already know that she's going to go. I was like, why are we stretching this out? Like,
it was weird to do that, but I get it for the suspense. But I don't know. At the same time, there was something different because like Veronica last season, and it happened with Eureka, the same phrasing of open. Rue said, you have an open invitation to return next time or next season. But this time, all she said was, I have a feeling we didn't see the last of her, which feels very up in the air. So I don't know. I think they're already filming the International All-Stars. So I don't think she's going to be on that. But maybe they're setting her up for something like that.
She almost won one challenge. I don't think that she's ready for International All-Stars at this point. Like, she needs to prove herself.
Can I just say, though, like, that was such a stupid thing for him to say, because this is me after the episode had aired. I'd had a few days to like sit on it. But like, Rue has obviously received a lot of flack over the last couple of years about being very close-minded about who should be on the show. Mm-hmm. And then having Victoria on the show, you know, I think a lot of people were kind of like, oh, you know, wasn't expecting this from RuPaul. And so for RuPaul to not be like, yes, we're going to have you back, we really want you back. Yeah, I was just like, I was like, don't be coy, RuPaul. I was like, people just got off your back about this. Like,
right. Excited for this to even be happening. Yeah. And then you're going to be leaving it so up in the air.
RuPaul has injured. You finally bring on, you know, like, it's
a woman.
It's just, and I'm like, and then you just injure her and then get rid of her and then don't promise that she's coming back. I was fully like, that was whoever was feeding that line into the ear piece. I was like, you're fired. Like,
very thin, like, chance.
You could show just a little bit of love for anyone that you may not like.
Very thin, slim chance of this, I think. But maybe the phrasing meant that they're going to let Victoria have a few episodes off and then bring her back like Art Simone.
No, they're not going to do that. That would be so
I know
rude.
They're not going to do that. But
no. But to quote RuPaul, a little bit of love goes a long, long way. Okay.
God.
Okay, we need to. Okay. But obviously that was a mess. And RuPaul always puts her foot in her mouth. But you know what? We could blame it on the edit, y'all.
Blame it on the edit.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know my mama Ru. Okay. Let's also talk about some other things that happened on the episode. So Charity Case cannot do an American accent. Like, that is definitely
unless you dive just right into the Appalachian Southern.
Well, no, because it wasn't even that good. Like, it was a really bad American accent.
So you could tell it was from somewhere.
we're like, this is like, and I don't think American accents are that hard. So I was really disappointed with that effort.
Easy for you to say. I thought it was funny though because you're American, so you can do it.
Barely.
It might be hard for other people.
I'm first generation and fresh off the boat. I had to learn my American accent. How dare you?
Okay, but it's hard for other people, obviously, if Charity's not good at it.
That is true.
But I did love that. I think Charity's very funny, and I love it. You may recognize me from that video, Two Pigs, One Man. I thought that was hilarious. But yeah, I thought the straight acting dating profile challenge, I thought everybody did pretty great. They were all pretty funny.
It was really
that
funny.
That made me so uncomfortable.
Why?
I was like, what are we doing?
Trigger warning?
I get that, like, it's, you know, obviously so polar opposite, but when I'm watching Drag Race, like, I don't want to see, like, anything remotely masculine. Like, I just, like, I'm here to escape that. So, like,
yeah.
It's just, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, it was funny and everything, but, like, when I was watching it, I was just kind of, like, cringing. I was just kind of like, oh my God. Like,
I'd rather this than the baby quick drag in season
13. I loved that Kitty Scott Claus did the bait and switch, though, like, came on super feminine.
Yeah.
No, came on super masculine and then, like, was, like, super feminine. I thought that was amazing because
it
I feel
so
like
funny.
That is such a metaphor for every, like, sex app, you know, you know, people are like, oh, like, blah, 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 like, blah, 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 show me that, like, blah, blah, blah. And then you go, and they're like, hey, and you're like, yeah.
My least favorite question, what are you into? Ugh, I hate being asked that.
The worst.
Anywho, but Kitty, I think Kitty is playing it so smart because Kitty is so funny and has so much personality and she knows how to turn it out and like really get Rue cackling. So that's going to keep her around.
Okay. And then did you catch when RuPaul was like, hey, you have to have a campy look like you're walking children in nature? RuPaul was quoting Tammy Brown, who unequivocally hates RuPaul.
Right. Are you out here helping the ladies cross the street? Are you walking the children in nature?
when RuPaul said that, I was like, Tammy Brown is somewhere like pulling something apart. It was so funny. Okay. And then also, okay, so I actually think that this is one of the best UK seasons thus far because this storyline, the way that they dealt with like being different and having like something to work through in the last episode with Electra Fence and Victoria Scone and Crystal. And then this episode, they talk about becoming HIV positive and, you know, really working through that. And it was shocking to hear Charity's story at 18. Like, that's wild.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, but you know what? It shows that like, we have to do more for sex education within the queer community, because if she contracted that at 18, I'm going to assume that she didn't really know how to use protection.
It may have been that. She did say in the interview of being taken advantage of. So I think it was somebody who was probably lying to her in that interaction, probably either saying they're clean, so we don't need to.
Yeah.
It's probably something like that.
Yeah.
Which is really horrifying, criminal.
This is why we use protection, people.
Yeah, and but when you're a kid, I mean, you probably feel like you can trust someone and maybe just don't have the experience yet to be like, no, I need to insist on this, you know, until it happens and you have no choice but to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm so glad the show spent time on it. I mean, we have to, especially if HIV positive people are still going through that stigma, then all the more reason we need to be hearing about it and putting a stop to it.
I mean, undetectable means untransmittable. We will say this many times on the pod, but I do think that that the fact that they were able to capture that storyline was really, 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 really commendable for them, because I think that we're kind of in a time and space where people think that like HIV is this like thing that was in the past, and so we can just have unprotected sex, like, you know, and that like STDs like aren't that big of a deal because you can treat them, but like one time and it changes your life. So
yeah,
people still need to like take PrEP, use condoms, maybe do both. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Sure. And then we get to the runway where everyone decided to be a Girl Scout. And I was like, can we think outside the box?
Right. I mean, I was, it was to the point where we saw the Girl Scout looks, and then as soon as somebody wasn't a Girl Scout, I was like, wait, did they do it wrong? Or are they doing it right because they did something else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so like some of them did it really well. Like I thought Crystal's Girl Scout look was really good. It was like really polished. Like I think, because I will agree. I mean, at one point I fully forgot the runway theme and I was like, oh, the runway theme is just Girl Scout. Like I really did. Mm-hmm. And when Charity came out as like, what was she, like a rabbit? A
killer rabbit?
Like, I was, I did have to think, I was like, is she completely off theme here? And then I was like, oh no, it's brilliant. Like, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
And Charity like made a case for why she's on the show, because she thinks outside the box, whereas yes. everyone is like reading the assignment and doing their first idea.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Yeah.
True. She really does actually think like, okay, how does Charity do this category? And that's what we love to see.
Yeah. I mean, I think the judges are sleeping on her completely. Like,
oh, yeah.
I it breaks my heart, but like, I just think that this season, like, they're just not getting it. And I don't know why, but like, I don't get
it. It's a little frustrating. And part of me feels like they are scared of praising her too much. I mean, they're definitely not even coming close to praising her too much, but part of me wonders if they're afraid of doing that because she is so outside the box that they're saying like, oh, if we reward that too much, then people will say we're just favoring the weird one, the unique one.
Well, I do think she came in a little cocky, and I think that not getting the praise is definitely like messing with her personal aura. So
yeah, which maybe is a good thing.
So I do think poor Charity needs to just trust herself. Mm-hmm.
Her second look though was like we finally gorgeous.
I know. So we finally have a design challenge, and I do have to say that Crystal killed it. Like, I mean, she put on a corset but made it look pretty. Kitty looked cute, Ripper looked cute, Charity looks cute, and I actually think Ella Vidae looked phenomenal, because when she covered her arms she actually looked petite, you know, because she has very thick arms.
Completely. But yeah, the big shape did a good thing for her.
It made her look so petite. Shoulders. And then they're like, oh, we didn't like the jacket. And I was like, the jacket made the outfit. Do you know what I mean? Like, the jacket was cute.
Yeah. If I think she could have, like, been within the top two winning grasp if she had just done more or different with the dress under it. If she'd made that, like, sexier in some way, or maybe showed a little more skin, I don't know. But she looked so good, I feel like. But then, yeah. But then why did it not... Like the best she's looked, I think, in her crafted
look. I think that Ella Vidae looks too, like, it almost looks like it was out of a box. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't look special. It looks like, it looks great, but it looks safe. You know, I mean, she did totally. She did it like Jane from like Tarzan outfit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I love.
The first one.
That was fun.
But here's the thing. She's a camp queen. So everything she does looks very musical theater. Like, that could have been a Legally Blonde. And I think that looks too out of the box. She's a musical theater queen doing musical theater drag,
and she needs to do it bigger.
Yeah,
if she's gonna do the musical theater stuff, I love that, because I don't think anybody does it right or really like boiled down enough to be like, oh, music theater always giving that vibe. And I think she could do that. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's not quite big enough.
Yeah, it's not big enough.
But her second look, I was like, oh man, it's this close to being really good, because I thought her makeup and hair were like really stunning, very rock and roll. But
so what do we think about the winner?
Oh, I thought she was great. I thought Scarlett did great. She had that Cher silhouette and everything. And yeah, it was kind of simple, but she executed it to a really great degree.
That was barely Cher. I mean, it's just because she wore long hair.
Blonde Cher.
And RuPaul likes Cher. It did not look like
Cher. It's kind of cheating, right?
Yeah. But
I mean, I did die when she came out. Like, I never really liked to, like, you know, kind of jump on like the bandwagon, because obviously like everyone was just like gagging. But honestly, like, I think the thing is it was Scarlett. I didn't really know where her talents lied in the first couple episodes. Like, I didn't really know what kind of queen she thought she was. I didn't know if she was an amazing seamstress. I had absolutely no idea. So I didn't really know what to expect. And when she came out, I was kind of like, whoa. Like, but I do also think it was a situation where the way it was styled as well made it like really chic. And I did appreciate the simplicity. And I do agree that she deserved that win. So I was happy to see. Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be real. Her fashion sense has not shown this level, you know, thus far. You know, she had the cute kind of like 80s thing in the first episode. And then like last she did like it was like a red carpet, and her red carpet was like just okay. She looked like a Disney person, you know, on their first runway. But this was phenomenal. And I think maybe she's been wearing the wrong color hair for how pale her skin is. And she just looked so flawless. And it was a design challenge. So like construction-wise, she did the assignment.
Yeah. And I mean, with it being clear that they were like, okay, we can't give Crystal a third win first three episodes in a row. So who should it go to? And then it made a ton of sense for it to be Scarlett. And it very earned. Yeah.
So Scarlett, we love you. Congratulations.
Yeah. And the lip sync.
What did we think about this lip sync?
I think they both really brought a lot of energy, which is good, but I hate when queens feel the need to tear apart their outfit, even if it got red for being crafted not great or really not tackling it how she wanted to, that doesn't mean tear it to pieces. Because if you win the lip sync, and you're not going to because you're tearing your dress apart, if you were to win, you're now saying Shantae, you stay to a torn apart outfit. Girl, don't do it.
Let's be real. If they say Shantae, you stay to you, you still won. So like
that's you still won. So yeah, it doesn't matter. But for me, I'd be like, I'd be embarrassed that I just tore my dress apart. But if it got me to win, I guess it wouldn't matter. But at the same time, it's sad to see Veronica do that, because I know she's better than that.
I want to say something else. If Veronica had taken those silly wings off that dress, it would have looked better. And if she had created a real waist, the dress also would have looked better. So I don't understand how when she was constructing the dress, she thought it was a good idea to make her waist bigger.
No shapes. Shape to it.
The silhouette is like one of the most basic things. Like broad shoulders, tiny waist.
Right. And the silhouette will save you if you focus on it. So for her, when that part in the workroom, when we enter like the final act of the episode and everyone's like, cool, we're feeling good. Veronica, how you feeling? And she's like, well, I'm definitely running out of time. And it was like, okay. And she said, I just have to buckle down and finish what I started. And that should have been the moment where she said, maybe I should simplify this, figure something out quick to simplify it.
Yeah. And those butterfly wings were not working. They were just like hanging off the dress. And you,
it's awful.
I think in a design challenge, you want to transform what you're wearing so that people don't know what the source material is.
Oh yeah.
And in this case, you could tell that was like part of a tent.
Yeah. Like, I think, you know, you're talking about silhouette. I mean, on the flip side, the person who won the challenge really won because they picked a silhouette that was very defined, and they executed it perfectly. And then you have Veronica going home with, it was just, I agree. I mean, I don't know what she thought. You can tell she clearly thought that like the kites were like the, you know, piece de resistance of the outfit. Like, that's what's made it look cool. And I was like, it looks awful. But I felt really bad for her, because like you could tell the whole time, like when they were in Untucked, as they have it, like she knew that it was,
But the thing, that makeup and the makeup on her hands and head and that hair on her was unexpected and very cool. Mm-hmm. It's just the outfit.
Yeah. But we also need to, in her defense, she filmed this almost right after the season ended. She had no budget for her outfit, which we could tell from the camper thing and the gaming outfit before. She had no budget to do this drag race, and she was not able to do shows because of COVID. So the fact that she even came back was amazing. So, you know, Veronica Green, we love you. And how dare Drag Race force you to do drag race again so quickly, mm-hmm. and not even like help you finance it, because mm-hmm. you can tell that like when she first came, she had the money to like get good outfits and stuff. Like her pig look with Medusa was phenomenal last season.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, yeah. you know, and then it's like, okay, great. So go home. You have no time. And then you have another 2 weeks to put stuff together. Like that's not easy.
It's really hard. That's really hard. And it's too bad. But also that's the show kind of not putting the welfare of the queens at the front and center is also kind of why Victoria got injured, because I heard that they were packing the episodes into one day of shooting rather than two.
Well, I also will say that Victoria injured her knee because she did the death flop.
She chose to do a collapse onto the knees.
No, it's called the death flop. We've coined this term on the podcast. It is called a death flop.
Death flop.
Because,
is that right?
Yes. It is when you drop to your knees for no reason, and it's always looked painful, and this is the first time that someone's been injured, and I'm not surprised.
I'm gonna miss her. Like, I feel like her presence, her absence this episode was definitely felt.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bummer. Yeah, we haven't seen the last of her.
Okay, so we're gonna do a power minute run through our faves from Drag Race Canada, because that is debuting next week. So this queen is called, what's her name? Adriana something? Adriana.
Okay.
Thoughts. Quebec City. Oh, she's French. Ooh. I think it's cute. I don't like the corset.
Lukewarm.
Yeah.
But cute, like cute face for sure. And the wig is, oof, that wig is good.
Love the wig.
Yeah, the wig is
the
cute.
Detailing love is the beautiful. Wig. Okay. Next,
Beth. I love Beth. I like Beth so far. Love it.
I like her, but this look was terrifying.
I've never been a fan of chaps. I do not understand what that is. Yeah. Like, no, I don't like it. Sorry. And also the wig is okay.
I'm gonna say yeah. Also that I love Beth, but this look is leaves a little bit.
Yeah, personality wise, we're hitting the mark.
Oh, I like this.
I like this too. Eve
6000. Love the name. Gorge. And I like this look. I like this look.
Good wig.
Yeah.
Cute. It's cute.
Very bad. Yeah. I like it. I like her. She's good.
I don't think I feel like strongly about it.
Yeah. It's not like the most transgressive drag, but it is good drag.
Yeah. Love.
Love Geometry.
Yeah, the only queen who did dark blue and green.
Ooh, wow. She decided to reject the assignment. right. But she looks amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited for what she's gonna bring.
And I'm always impressed by a queen who can have like no boobs but still look, you know, really feminine. Mm-hmm. And I love these elf ears, and the wig is also, because remember, wigs in Canada were not really a thing last season.
Oh, so. Stepped up now, honey.
Yeah. Oh my God.
A season one will do that to you.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this too. It's
oh
very,
yeah.
Isis. Couture. Isis. I've been so distracted by the outfit. I can't even. I couldn't even look at the name.
Yeah,
I really enjoy
the overdrawn
really enjoy
lips.
This.
Love this.
The
look.
Puppy dog.
Love the colors.
Ears. Oh my God. Oh,
the wig is great. It's so long, but it has body up top. Love it.
Yeah, I'm into it. Oh my God.
Favorite look so far.
I guess one of the colors was green, because this queen is also wearing green. Kendall Jenner.
Love the name. Don't love the look.
Love the name.
See, I'm like the opposite of you guys. Like, I like the look. I can't stand the name.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't like the Jenners and Kardashians at all.
I don't like
but
any
I
Jenner.
I think Kendall Jenner is funny.
No, and don't get me wrong. If
Wait,
they're
you
listening,
like this look? Do you like that wig, Adam? Do you like
it? I think it's cute.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's like an unusual. I feel like when queens do the kind of flat at the top, I feel like it's something we don't see a lot. They tend to build up. So I quite like it.
Yeah.
And for the record, I am, the Kardashians are my like guilty pleasure. But I just.
But you don't name. Like, you don't like no. Jenner? Okay.
No. I'm not here for it. Sorry.
Okay. Well, this must be an American thing because like I hate the wig. I'm sorry. Unless she's hiding her shoulders, like I don't get it.
Maybe, yeah.
It kind of doesn't work with the dress.
Oh my god, a black drag queen, yay.
Yeah, and more than one.
I know, we have two.
Take some advice, UK and Holland.
Yeah, I know.
I do not like this, but I do like the African fabric that are a part of this outfit.
Yeah. I think I'm excited for this queen, but yeah, this look isn't. I'm not obsessed.
Well, it's a very like pageanty drag, like I don't even know what that's called.
But... Wait, is her name Kimora? Another freaking
yeah.
blank Mora?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it. Like,
so I don't like any
names.
I don't
so
like anything that's like a corset. I feel like I'm with Michelle Visage. Like anything that's like just a corset and like a leotard, I'm like, yeah. You need to do more.
Not doing enough.
Oh my god.
Okay. Yeah. Ocean Aqua Black. I'm very excited
French.
For her.
Oh my god. This is gonna be so unique.
If like Latrice and Rita Baga had a baby, I think that's her drag. It's very classic looking.
I need to try and pronounce this properly. Ocean Aqua Black.
Mm-hmm. I see very like campy old school diva. I'm very excited
so
about that.
So funny.
Yeah.
And oh my god, I'm so excited for her. It's not a cute look, but she's so funny. Like
I like the little pom-poms. I think that's a fun touch.
She needs a corset.
I love the like wig. Like I feel like she's giving almost like kind of early 2000s.
Yeah.
Like a dash of Missy Elliott. Like
it's so good. Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Okay, this one's great too. Name. Pythia?
Pythia.
Oh, Montreal. Oh my god, there's so many French queens this season.
Yes, I love that. And I think she's gonna be cool. This looks okay.
I love the look.
Yeah, I don't like the look, but I have been on her Instagram and she like,
love the two colored eyes.
She's got the looks. Yeah.
Well, no, but here's the thing. It's so unique that you can tell that she has like fun things in her closet. So like, yeah. I like it because I'm like, I'm going to have fun with this queen.
Yeah.
Unlike this one.
Oh my God.
Stephanie Prince, you
who's
know,
gorgeous,
just that girl from high school.
Who's gorgeous, but I think this
totally
is very
gorgeous.
Basic.
Too basic.
Very strong feelings about this look because... In my opinion, I had to like go and look at it side by side, but I think it's kind of a rip of Gottmik season 13.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's like she had the like bodysuit, she had the nipple pasties.
But much more affordable.
Didn't have that. Yeah. Like
also,
if she
but
didn't
we've
have
seen nipple pasties on this situation.
Yeah.
And the nipple pasties on the earlier outfit were like phenomenal, and this is like, it's like when you like go and buy like the replica of something.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm not living.
And then case in point, we're gonna go to nipple pasties in the next outfit.
Yes,
and these
pasty
look better.
Parade continues with this season.
But Suki Doll looks so much better.
Yes, I agreed. Suki Doll, I think this is a very fun, unique look. The wig really brings it out of the box.
And the cheekbones. Oh my god.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I love it when queens have like really weird like hair silhouettes. Mm-hmm. So like I'm all here for this like medieval like
yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, here's the thing. I think we agree that, yes, this is a different hair silhouette, but the last time that you liked the hair silhouette, I was confused. Now I totally understand.
Let's just give it up for Canada's Drag Race season 2 so far for being actually very diverse. This is 2 Asian queens already.
Oh, yeah.
This is great.
2 Asian queens, 2 Black queens. Like, there's strength around. Cynthia Kiss. Is this
Cynthia
Ottawa?
Cynthia Kiss.
Who's the Ottawa queen? I don't know who it is.
Oh, I think that was the one that we just looked at, I think.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
Okay, we're going to
maybe.
Go back one. Is this the Ottawa queen? And we've been hating so much?
No. Sunshine Suki.
No?
Maybe. I don't know.
Hometown. Montreal. Oh, she's another French one. Oh. So many. Oh.
So yeah, Cynthia Kiss. I don't know. It's like, did they tell them to be like, hey, blue and pink, like cotton candy colors, but also make them very, very basic? Because I'm getting a lot of basic drag looks here, I feel like. Like, yeah. These are very familiar to each other.
Yeah. I don't like this one.
I mean, yeah, like, she's pretty. Like, I think she'll definitely be one of the ones that, like, the Instagram fans will be, like, they'll go nuts over her.
This is giving me, I mean, it just looks like...
white twink realness.
Yeah, it, that's what I mean. It's just like, it's like, it's very expected white drag.
Yeah.
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 I would say that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, maybe she's really funny or something. We'll see.
So, but maybe she can dance.
I don't think so either.
Maybe she can dance. But like, this wig is so basic.
Yeah, it's, it, this is.
I hope it's not a wig zaddy wig. We should check that. Because we're going to interview him next week.
And then.
So that's Canada.
Oh, is that everybody?
Yeah, that was everybody. But all we're gonna say is we're very happy that Tracy Melchior is on the actual judging panel this season, and we're so ready for it. Now, friends, this has been such a wonderful Kiki. Adam, your skin has never looked better. we are so glad that you were able to join us on the pod. But also, we do believe in fervent and committed and passionate stalking of all of our guests. So where can people find you, lift you up in a consensual manner online?
I mean, literally just Instagram. I'll spell it out because it's a very long one.
You cannot send mean comments or else I will come for you, because Adam is...
Oh my God, please.
Can do no wrong.
Actually, like, now you've mentioned it, I'm not on any social media. Don't try and find me.
Everyone needs to go and like deep dive into this Instagram. And it's some of the most beautiful drawings. When you did the, like, you basically did like a Vogue cover with like all the queens. It was so phenomenal.
Yeah, those are the sort of composition ones where, like, mm-hmm. I have quite a few. Those are definitely the ones that attract the most like opinions.
Trigger warning.
They're also the most rewarding ones to do because, like, they take ages. They take, like, 6 weeks.
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay. Well, they're talent. So everyone look up Adam on Instagram. Adam, we love you. Please come back on the pod. Please do more collaborations.
Yes,
please make more art. If you don't think you have time, just do half an hour a day, because we're just dying for another illustration.
I have one in the works. I do. Okay.
Well, we can't wait to see it.
Well, send us a little ping when you post. I mean, I'll probably see it, but, you know, just ping me anyway.
Very, very spooky ooky for Halloween. That's all I'll say.
Lovely. Aww.
We do love Halloween, so.
Oh, we do.
So, y'all, I think the moral of this episode is quit hating, because it's not worth it. You know,
quit
what
hating,
I mean?
Start illustrating.
Like, honestly, like, if you are so upset about something that you need to send out some vitriol to someone online, you need to go look in the mirror and ask yourself why you hate yourself. Because
completely,
it's not.
Even why am I needing to let this pain onto other people?
Yeah,
you know,
because you don't need to share it with other people. You need to heal it within yourself. But
ding,
I know, ding. But until next week, y'all. Love, light, art, and drag. See you next week. Bye.
Whispering Humpies is not endorsed by World of Wonder, VH1, Viacom, Great Canada, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and Canada Drag Race and all names, pictures, all music are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective copyright holders.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.